Good morning and welcome to another edition of St. Louis Voices. I'm Jill Devine, and joining me this morning, she has a super long title. It's Jeannie Marshall. She's the Executive Vice President of Services and Chief Program Officer with Easter Seals Midwest. That's a long title.
It took me 30 years to get that title.
And you are going to be proud of that title.
That's right.
And that's the way it should be. Well, first, good morning.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Oh, I'm very excited. Anyone that is a regular to my particular interviews know that I get very, very excited to learn about something that I know nothing about. There are so many amazing organizations that are here in our community that people don't know of. And that's one of the great things about this program. We have the opportunity to let the community know about what's happening right here in our area. And so I received an email one day about the Easter Seals program, and I said, hey, wait, I want to have someone on to talk about it because I've heard of the Easter Seals, but I don't know anything about the Easter Seals. So that's what you're going to do. Over the next 30 minutes, you're going to help guide me. You're going to help guide the listener. And let's just go ahead and start with what Easter Seals Midwest is all about.
Sure. So we are a nonprofit. We originated here in the St. Louis area, and now we actually serve the entire state of Missouri.
Oh, wow.
Right. So really about almost 5,000 individuals a year we're providing support to. People who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And they could be babies that are as young as 3, 4, 5 days old, or people in their 80s and 90s who are needing support at that age in their life. So we are truly, what we would call a lifespan provider, providing services all along the continuum of life, regardless of what people's support needs are at any given time.
All right, before we get into more of what Easter Seals Midwest does and the programs that you offer, I always like to ask my guests how they got involved, because there's usually a story.
There's always a story.
Yes.
That's a great question. Actually, I started as a volunteer in high school.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to graduate early. They said, it's not good for you to leave your peers. You should stay engaged in high school. And I said, well, can I get out of here for at least part of the day?
Right.
And so they said, sure. So I found this organization, and I had done a fundraising project for them. I went and approached them, and I said, hey, is there any way I could volunteer for the next year? They said, yeah. So that's how it started.
Oh my gosh, that's a great story.
Yeah, and I've never left. I mean, I've left to get degrees and go to college and things along the way, but I've always been able to work during that period of time because of the variety of services that we had. So.
And it earned you your long title.
That's right.
So let's talk about the different programs and the services, because you have four core areas. So let's just go ahead and dive into those so that the individual knows.
Sure. If we just go in age order, essentially, we have our early childhood line of services. And with that one, when children are born with a disability or acquire a disability at a young age, we may be able to provide support. I would say one of the most important things we do here in the St. Louis area along these lines is supporting families who have a child with autism. When they get diagnosed or if they need a diagnosis, they can come to us. And ideally what we do is we set them up with a family navigator, somebody who can sit down and talk to them about where they are in their path, what their family is experiencing right now, and what are the challenges that they're having with their child, and really just give them the tools that they need entering into a very confusing system, quite honestly. The system of care is not always easy to navigate for a family, especially when they're overwhelmed by the emotion of a potential diagnosis. So that's really what we do, is we try to do essentially a counseling session with them to help them say, these are your next three critical steps. These are the things that you need to do. And then once those are done, we're going to sit down with you again, and we're going to guide you through the next few steps. So we try to give it to them in pieces so that it really gives them something manageable to work with.
As a mother to a 15-month-old, when do you start as a parent? I hate to say start looking for, because you don't want to worry yourself and have this constant fear that your child could end up having some sort of disability. But is there a guideline that you should be looking for?
Great question. There's actually some things that you can find on our website or on the internet. One is just See the Signs, Act Early. And it's essentially a checklist that you can look at for red flags. It's always helpful if you have peer comparison. You know,
okay.
So if you have friends who have other toddlers and they're all playing around and you go, wait a second, why is mine not talking quite as much as the other kids. Sometimes you lose perspective when it's your only child because you just don't know mm-hmm. what's normal and what's not normal at that point, especially if it's your first baby. So there's obviously the doctors are going to do screenings, and that's been part of a new system of care for pediatricians, is that they've adopted as an industry certain hallmarks where they should be doing a checklist on kids and a screening, if you will. So that's really important that that doctors do that. But families can also then kind of just watch the developmental guidelines. And I would just say, if you have a concern about anything, ask. Because the key thing about early intervention is exactly that. It's catching it, and it's starting that intervention and therapy as quickly as you can, because the data and the research shows it absolutely makes a difference. It's never too late to make progress, mm-hmm. but the earlier you start, the trajectory will be completely different.
Well, and you did mention that part of the core area of the early childhood, the autism. Mm-hmm. And that I feel has really kind of just, I don't want to say skyrocketed, but has come on the radar a lot over the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years
for sure. So when I, you know, told you about the decades gone by, you know, when I first worked in the field, really at that point, people didn't know what autism was. People confused it with art being artistic all the time. I mean, there was very little information out in the field. And I always use the comparison. The movie Rain Man, when that came out, people go, oh, wow, that's what it is. What's important for people to understand is that autism is a spectrum disorder. And so you can have people who are very significantly involved and have lots of challenges around language and behavior. And you have people who are extremely high functioning, living independently. They're married. They might be a little bit quirky. So it's just the levels of support that somebody may require with that diagnosis can be quite varied.
But the key is the diagnosis, because if you even have just a little bit, there are still some things that you probably need to address.
Absolutely. And the thing is, so a lot of people, we actually have adults who come into our center quite frequently and say, I read something on the internet or I heard a radio show. I think I have this thing that you're talking about. And so lots of people as adults are self-diagnosing. And what happens is they've made it through life by adapting and accommodating their environment. So it's not that you can't be successful, but they've learned tools that they can use while on the job or while having a social interaction or while navigating, really the social stuff is what's more challenging sometimes. Again, regardless of where you are on your path, we can help with interventions. So we had an individual came and said, I think I have this, but I'm married and I have a job at Monsanto or wherever, you know, I'm very successful. So what do I do about it? And we literally had a conversation of, well, is it getting in the way of your life? I mean, yeah, you may have this, but are there barriers to you being successful? Are there issues that you face that maybe we could help, you know, round out for you or give you some intervention around? So again, all levels of the spectrum, but back to early childhood, which, sorry, went on a tangent.
No, that, but it's fascinating when you said, like, oh, wow.
You just don't think about it. And it's everywhere. And so what I always says is autism is basically normalcy taken to the extreme. Everybody has it.
Right?
Everybody has little quirks and nuances mm-hmm. and things that are important to them or things that they perseverate on and repeat over and over or, you know, certain ways that they like to have things done. When a person doesn't have a diagnosis, usually what they can do is they can tell when that's coming off as odd or if they're not getting a good reaction from somebody. I can say, oh, I can see that she's not really interested in what I'm saying, or her facial expression tells me that maybe I just had a miscue, and then I back up and I know how to fix it. Somebody with autism may not know how to repair that situation that has occurred, and so it comes off as more awkward.
That makes sense. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, it's nice to know, though, that everyone's got a little bit of, you know, I mean, I know I can admit to some of my stuff, but sometimes I don't own it. You just gotta own it.
Lots of people say, that's my autism. That's what I, you know, that's what I do.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if someone does have a child that, you know, maybe does have to get the diagnosis of autism, what are the next steps?
Sure. So we have a program that we developed literally decades ago that is absolutely life-changing. It's one of the things that I have a hard time talking about but without crying, because I'm so moved by what happens as a result of this program. And so parents come in to this parent training program that we do, and they come for 2 weeks every day, all day with their kids. ideally, if mom and dad can both come, it's amazing. That's the reality of life, is that that can always happen.
Right.
But while the parents are there, they're going through some really intensive workshops and instruction on all of the different aspects of how to support an individual, an ideal, you know, their child with autism. How do you communicate most effectively? What are the behavior triggers? What are the communication strategies that you're going to use? What are the teaching strategies that that the child responds to? And so we have a trainer who works with the child then to demonstrate the things that the parents have learned in classes. And the parents are very actively involved in this program. It used to be a 6-hour graduate credit course in this period of time. I mean, it's really intensive in terms of the competency that we expect parents to walk out of at the end of the program with. And so what happens is they'll have workshops during the day, and then they'll have a trainer who works directly with their child to model and demonstrate what they've just learned. And then the parents are taking data. They're recording strategies that they see. And then after a period of time, what we do is we switch roles, and the parent becomes the trainer. The trainer's then outside the room, and the parent's wearing a little earbud in their ear, and we're coaching them from outside of the room, saying, okay, now point to the schedule. Now look them in the eye. Now say this. And we're guiding them through step-by-step that interaction so that it's a very positive interaction, that we're teaching them the effective ways that they can get communication from their child, or they can get them to respond to behavior strategies. And then we fade that over the period of the 2 weeks, so the parent becomes independent in those interactions. And what parents tell us is this is so empowering. Like, for the first time, I have hope.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so when you hear that come from a parent and their child is 4 or 5 years old and they've struggled every day to get through the bathing routine or sitting at the dinner table or going to, you know, Walmart or Target, everything's a struggle. Everything has to be planned out, and they're exhausted from that. And so when they get this tool belt full of strategies that, oh, I can try that, I can try that, I can try that, they are all of a sudden in a whole new, like, trajectory of how they're going to intervene with their child.
And while you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking about my own child, who is 15 months old. She's not autistic, but it's still very difficult to manage and to make sure you're doing the right things. I mean, it's something that I get teased for a lot, the amount of stuff that I read on the do's and the don'ts and how this can affect that and that can affect that. And while I understand every child is different, I also know that there's certain guidelines that do help and that do provide insightful information. I mean, listen, there's no handbook to help prepare you to be a parent by any means, but wanting your child to succeed, that's what it's all about. So this program is so amazing.
As a parent, what are you doing? You're doing what your parents did. We all learned to parent from ours, okay? And not that that was right or wrong, but typical parenting strategies don't cut it when it comes to a child with autism.
No.
And so we tell parents, there's no judgment here. We're not telling you did it wrong. We're going to show you another way. So just take a quarter turn on what you've been doing, and all of a sudden it changes the entire dynamic of the interaction that you just had. You're getting something really positive out of it, and the child's getting something really positive out of it, and all of a sudden the coping strategies go through the roof for the child and the parent, and the stress completely decreases over time.
Right, more smiles, more love.
Absolutely.
More,
you get to focus on the fun stuff.
I could see why that's emotional.
Right?
I could see. That's amazing. Let's move into the employment aspect of Easter Seals Midwest and how that works with you guys.
Sure. So this is one of our more exciting programs. Well, they're all exciting. I get pretty passionate. They're all really exciting.
I get it.
But employment is so perfect for us to talk about, because this is an opportunity for people who we support who have all developmental disabilities to find their niche in life, to find the thing that fills their cup with support and direction, and then do that really effectively to earn money, earn a paycheck, pay taxes, and really be a member of society.
That is huge, because something that, and maybe even for you, I have learned a lot over the years, as far as when I was in high school, let's say, not even elementary school, but in high school, if anyone had a disability, they were put into a different room. They weren't included in your classroom. So it stood out more when you saw those individuals. And then fast forward to, I would say, probably about 7 years ago, I ended up doing some work in the school district with disabled children, and the individual children that were a little bit more high functioning, seeing them included in the classroom mm-hmm. so that their peers, they were just like anybody else.
Yeah. Kids growing up today,
it's different.
It's absolutely different. They have a level of acceptance that you and I never had
right.
growing up. We just weren't exposed to it in the same way.
And so and you're right. And I, even some of my peers and obviously my parents and not that, I'm not saying that they don't accept it. But for me, if I were to go to a fast food restaurant and there is an individual that has a disability working the cashier, that doesn't faze me. Like I'm excited. I'm excited that they have a job. Right. And so we have come a far way, I believe, but we still have such a far way to go.
Right.
But it starts with this, to make these individuals know that they are accepted into this community.
And so a big part of the success of that is that we help them find that job that's the right fit, and then we can provide job coaching on site. And so what you may not see is there might be somebody at the fast food or at the, you know, whatever the workplace is, who's kind of behind the scenes working with that individual on how to do their job effectively, how to communicate with their coworkers, how to respond when the boss says X, Y, or, you know, some kind of nuance that maybe they don't understand. What we find out over and over and over from the employers that we work with is that the individuals who they employ who have developmental disabilities are their most reliable staff. We actually had somebody from Embassy Suites the other day said, I had to switch the shifts, and I had to put the person that you're supporting on the morning shift because I knew they would always be there on time and be extremely diligent.
Wow.
He said they're not going to take sick days. They're not going to stand around at the water cooler chit-chatting. You know, they are there to work. They are proud to work. It gives them dignity, and they want to do the best job they can.
That's an awesome thing to see, and thank you. I mean, that's what it's about, is giving these individuals the feeling of, not even the feeling, I mean, I guess it is the feeling, but they are members of society.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They absolutely are. Another part of your programs and services that you offer, community living. I know that this also goes back to an individual that wants to work. They want to be able to live on their own, too.
Mm-hmm. And for the community living line of services, again, I keep talking about everything's a spectrum. You may have individuals who need 24 support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're with them every single waking hour of the day and every sleeping hour. We're awake. You know, we're providing whatever level of support they need to be successful and as independent as possible. And so there are many, many people that we serve in homes throughout the community. These are homes that are just in your neighborhood. Okay, they're just like having any other neighbor. It happens to be that a few people with disabilities may live in that home, and then an agency like ours provides the staff support to help them be independent. So we're going to help them navigate the grocery shopping. We're going to make sure they get to their doctor's appointments, that they're taking their medications safely, things along those lines. And then you have individuals who are very independent. They're probably working, and they just need a few hours a week of support. So we're in there helping them, you know, with whatever the specific things are in their plan, but they don't need somebody with them 24 hours a day. So it's really a wide range of supports that can happen. But I think the important thing about this line is we have really worked hard in our state to shut down institutions and to get people living in the community where they have the right to live, where they have the, you know, dignity to live. And it's been a movement over the last couple of decades, and we've made tremendous strides in that. So some of the people that we're providing support to years ago, folks would have said they could never live in the community. It can't happen. There's no way. And we have shown there is a way, and we can do it well, and we can do it with respect, and really give them a good, meaningful life.
If you are just tuning in to this edition of St. Louis Voices, Jeannie Marshall, the Executive Vice President of Services and Chief Program Officer of Easter Seals Midwest, is joining me. And we've been talking about the different programs and services that Easter Seals Midwest offers. And lastly, not that there's a last, but advocacy.
Oh,
and it
sure
seems so easy, but we need to discuss that.
We really do. Because if you think about what we were just talking about, why individuals at some point were in segregated classrooms or segregated schools or things along those lines, the way that came undone is through advocacy. So the big systems changes that have happened in the United States, across the country, and in Missouri, are the result of people having their voice heard, whether it be the person with the disability or people speaking on their behalf to try to make the system better and to improve their lives all around.
There are a number of ways that you can get involved to help the Easter Seals Midwest, and that can be through volunteering or making a gift. You want to touch a little bit on both of those, just so that the individual knows exactly where to go to get more information?
Sure. So our website has links to the different volunteer opportunities, and they vary throughout the year in terms of what those opportunities are. We just wrapped up doing 17 different milk and cookies with Santa events across the
state. I love
it. It's like what we say is the best fill your heart kind of day of the year. So you have hundreds of kids and families who will come to these events who the families just really are hesitant to go to the mall and it's hard for any family. It's hard for any parent to go stand in that line. The kids are tired. They don't know what to expect. It's hard. So probably about 10 or so years ago, after getting feedback from families about how they just weren't doing these sorts of things anymore because of the discomfort level that they were having, we said, you know what, we have the ability to do this. Let's just, not that we want to have a segregated activity, but we want to have opportunity for families to experience that kind of thing. So we just did this in the month of December, all over the state, and hearts were filled. We had one little guy, he was on Santa's lap, and they said, he says, "So, little man, you know, what do you want for Christmas?" And the kid looks at him, he goes, "Yeah, just surprise me." And everybody just roared. It was like, it was so unexpected. You did not think that was going to come out of this little guy's mouth. Again, to watch them be able to be in this environment where we have a variety of different activities and community events that come together to help make it a really full day. That's just one of the fun things. So we always need volunteers for activities like that throughout the year. We host activities at like the Botanical Gardens or Circus Flora or, you know, different St. Louis events that are really important to our community. But we've figured out a way to partner with those organizations to make a sensory-friendly event and maybe, you know, tone down the noise a little, take away some of the surprise elements. And these partners are working with us now to, when they design the Circus Flora show, we go ahead of time and we watch it. And then we go and we sit down with the team and we give them feedback about, here's, you know, some tweaks you might want to make for this particular show. And so that just seems to grow every year as one you know, entity hears about it, then it's like, okay, now we're going to do this activity at the St. Louis Arch. Okay, now we're going to go to the History Museum. So that's one of the things that I think is pretty neat that we do on the community that we could always use volunteers' support for.
So it's really easy to learn about volunteering. Just go to EasterSealsMidwest.org. That's EasterSealsMidwest.org. Just listen to this. Volunteering, it's good for your soul. Nobody ever volunteers and leaves and says, well, that was horrible. No, it is good for you. Do it and involve your family. I cannot stress that enough. It's one of my big things. The kids, they know, they understand, they learn by example. So please involve your entire family when it comes to volunteering. There's also some great stories online at EasterSealsMidwest.org that will show you exactly what this amazing organization does for our community. You'll see individual stories of a child that was 18 months old and not talking and to where he is today. You will see a story of a girl that, well, she didn't even have any freedom to go out into the community and had seizures and was overweight. And I will just give you a little bit of a tip. Mm-hmm. She is not having as many seizures anymore, right?
Not even.
Yeah. So check out these stories online, EasterSealsMidwest.org. Another way that you can help out besides volunteering, the funding. And you can make a gift, but funding from other areas, it's important for you guys to do all these different programs.
It's beyond important. It's critical. Without the funding and the fundraising that we do, we could not keep these programs open. So the cost of reimbursement that we get from the state and the federal and, you know, grants and things like that rarely cover the actual cost of doing the work. So we have a pretty hefty fundraising goal each year. And then on top of that, this year, we actually took over a $2 million cut from the government funding that we had been receiving. So it's been a tough year. It's really devastating to the programs and the need for just contributions. Just it's never been a more important time for us.
It is New Year's Eve. We are in the last day of the year. I mean, you can't get any last minute as you can right now. So maybe you want to take the time and open up your checkbook a little. Or if you are involved with a company that you think could do some things for Easter Seals Midwest, now's the time to do it. Now, Jeannie, would individuals go to the website to learn more on that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a button now on the website for donations. We'd be forever grateful. And I think there are some links there that would explain tax credits and some other advantages to the good that the money goes towards.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last day of the year, so you can get in on that tax credit right there, EasterSealsMidwest.org. So lastly, Jeannie, I kind of want to know what maybe personally or maybe just talking as the professional, 5-year goals for Easter Seals Midwest. What do we want to accomplish?
Oh, we've got a big strategic plan.
Good.
We actually just rolled out our latest strategic plan, and I'll tell you that there's 5 key areas. You're going to make me go through all 5. I can tell you all 5.
You don't have to.
For the sake of time, we won't. I will tell you that some of our most pressing issues right now are around talent. We are forever trying to recruit talented people who want to do this good work for their careers. All over the state of Missouri, we are expanding at a rate that we have literally dozens and dozens of jobs available at any given time due to the number of people and the wait list that we have to provide services. So,
wow.
It's a really, well, I've done it for 30 years for a reason. So it does fill your heart. Without a doubt. And you're changing lives every day with the work that we do within our organization. So talent's a big one.
Yeah.
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 Advocacy is huge for us in our strategic plan. We want to be able to get services paid at a rate that so that we can pay staff what they need to really make a career out of this. We're looking at growth. We want to be able to provide support in communities where perhaps there is not enough service, where people are going without because there isn't a provider there to help out. So we're looking at ways that we can respond to community need, essentially. So those would be the big ones, I'd say.
Well, hopefully, maybe in the next couple of years, as long as I have a job here, we can talk again about...
If not, we're recruiting.
I was going to say, then that popped up into my head, you said. So, yeah, we can talk about what's happening and what the future holds again and where you have been. And I don't know, this is a really great thing that you are doing. I just am a big advocate for those that have a disability and should be included in everything. And that to me, I think, is such a big deal. And you guys are doing that.
Thank you. We talk about them as often being the most vulnerable population. And, you know, we have to be their voice. We have a responsibility to provide excellent programming and really give everybody what they need to be as independent as they can.
Well, thank you. It sounds like you guys are doing a great job so far.
Thanks for having me.
Again, EasterSealsMidwest.org, EasterSealsMidwest.org to learn more, to learn about volunteering, and to make a gift. That does it for another edition of St. Louis Voices.